Good morning, everybody. It's Emily here again from the Willow Pod. And today we have with us Deborah again from Definitely Women. And we have, hi Deborah. And we have Jill here who's interpreting for Deborah. So, since we last saw you, Deborah, you have qualified as an IDVA and an IDZA. So, can you just explain?
Yeah, it's an ISVA, I-S-V-A, ISVA.
Can you just explain what they are, what those terms mean and what they do?
Certainly. So, an IDVA is an independent domestic violence advisor. And so really, the role is to ensure the safety of any victims. So if they have children, for example, is to also ensure that they're safe. And if people are at high risk from a partner or an ex or a family member, for example, then we look to support them to make sure that they are safe. We take a part in safety planning, think about next steps, we provide advice, let them know what their rights are. And so we're kind of the first port of contact, really, the first person that they can come to, have a discussion about what their potential options are. And then it's up to them what they do. My role really is to advise. I can't tell them what to do. That's ultimately their decision, but I can give them options so that they can weigh them up and make up their own mind about what next steps they would like to take. So that's the role of the IDVA. So that's to do with the domestic violence.
Yeah.
And then also I'm now an ISVA. So that's an independent sexual violence advisor. Now, if somebody has been involved, they have experienced sexual abuse, sexual violence, then it doesn't matter whether it's current, recent, or whether it's historical, then ISVAs can provide support for them. And what we will do is we will have a discussion potentially with other professionals, we'll signpost them to GPs so we can let them know which services are available for them, so they can potentially attend counselling or therapies or whatever else may be available to suit them. Now, if an individual is going to go through the court process, then we can also support them through that. We can talk with the police. We can talk to the Crown Prosecution Service, find out what's going on, what the next steps are likely to be, where they are in the process, and we can provide updates there on an ongoing basis for the victim. Additionally, we can help them to understand the process, where they're at, what's likely to happen next, so that they're really clear all the way throughout that that situation. And so, yeah, just to provide support generally through whatever processes they'll be going through. Additionally, we can show individuals around the court so that they know what it's like, they're a bit more confident, a bit more comfortable and prepared before they go into that court situation on their actual court date. And we can also make arrangements to have a screen so that somebody doesn't have to necessarily, you know, see their the perpetrator, former partners, whoever it may be. And so once they're aware of that, they can feel more comfortable and then potentially it's a bit less traumatic or less emotional for them. So again, that continuous ongoing support throughout whatever they may go through is something that we'll be providing. And we'll tailor that depending on their individual needs, make sure that everything is accurate and it's balanced advice, make sure that they have emotional support, make sure that their needs are met, provide support, so before, during and after the court process. And obviously we work very closely with others and with them to make sure that they are safe and that any children are also safe.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yes, it is. Yeah, but you know, it is interesting. I find it very interesting work. And especially for deaf people, for deaf victims, that's my area of specialism. I work with women who are deaf, deafblind, hard of hearing. And so there's some additional requirements and so on that are required. So it's looking at those extra services and those extra needs, making sure that interpreters are booked for the court process, ensuring there's different interpreters for the perpetrator and for the victim, so that they don't, there's not a clash there. It can be quite complex sometimes. And again, going back to having that screen in place so that they can't see one another. It's a very visual language, using sign language, of course. So if they have got interpreters, then that's something else that we'll put in place.
That's something I'd never considered.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people that have been to court recently had absolutely no idea. And so just to have, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes to set up the courtroom, to make sure the screens are set up, to make sure interpreters are in the right place, having face-to-face interpreters there, think about where the seating's going to be. All of that obviously must be considered prior to the court date. And, you know, there are still some teething problems, but it's raising that awareness amongst the professionals, and hopefully we can establish better practices for the future.
So, Deborah, how are things different for victims of abuse who are deaf or hard of hearing?
So, for victims who are deaf or hard of hearing, there are additional barriers. So, access to helplines, for example, are often a telephone line which they're unable to access. They're not able to make those calls. And so services quite often create barriers in ways that they're able to be contacted. And so it could be if they're already traumatised and they're feeling emotional, and then they think, well, you know, I'm going to have to book an interpreter. They're not going to be available straight away. I'm going to have to wait. You know, it kind of all adds to the frustrations and the pressure and the emotional turmoil. And so quite often people then think that they won't bother, and then they just suffer and they struggle on. Additionally, when victims are considering fleeing and they're looking at support, communication can be really problematic. And so they think, oh, do you know what? I'd rather stay at home with my partner. It's going to be easier. And so I know that some people, yes, you can write things down. You've got to remember that for sign language users, for example, English is a second language. And so having to write things down, if they don't necessarily understand what's written there, that can be quite problematic. So those communication barriers and communication breakdowns that deaf women have experienced, they don't want to have to experience those again on top of the trauma that they're going through. Now, the deaf world, also in the deaf community, everybody knows everybody. And that means that people often have concerns about rumours starting, about people not getting the correct information, about people finding out what's going on. And so they think that they're safer to keep quiet sometimes. Now, there has been research that shows that disabled women compared to non-disabled women have suffered much greater effects of abuse. And so, for example, from the Office of National Statistics, they said that 1 in 7 16 to 59 year olds have experienced some form of domestic abuse. And that's compared to statistics showing non-disabled adults where there's, far fewer. And so when people are reliant on their partners for support, if they're disabled, if they're vulnerable, it's those extra considerations that can really have an impact, and it makes a difference to their lives. So they're twice as likely to suffer compared to non-disabled adults. And I think that, you know, these statistics were from 2019, so pre-pandemic, I'm pretty sure that they're going to be higher than that.
So how can a victim get in touch with you, Deborah, at Definitely Women?
Well, we have a special page on our website, and that's dedicated to deaf abuse. And so all the information regarding our services are there. There's an SMS number, there's an email address. People can also use FaceTime. Usually I have a lot of referrals. They come through from the deaf team within social services. And so people do contact me directly. I do have some victims also who have got in touch with me themselves. And so we do promote the service on social media. We do have the contact details available out there, and it does seem to be working so far. We're getting the word out there.
Good. We here at the Willow Pod are trying to help as much as possible to get the word out, because it's something that's just terribly important that victims know about your service, Deborah.
Yes, I know. Yes, it really is important. And I think that there's still a lack of information, a lack of awareness out there amongst the deaf community, amongst hard of hearing people. So it's campaigning and challenging and ensuring that we continue to do that outreach work, get the information out there, go to any events that we can so that people see that we're at stalls. Just making sure that information is available for people to know how to contact us. I think one difficulty is that a lot of deaf victims are often not confident to report. They might be a little bit embarrassed. The deaf community is also very small and everybody knows everybody. So that can potentially be a barrier. They may be a little bit reluctant to report. And also knowing that they're going to have to get an interpreter, that can take some time. They can't just get an interpreter instantly. The booking process can be quite slow. And so all these additional requirements can sometimes leave people thinking that they won't, and they're not necessarily confident to report or know how to go through that process of doing it. And that's something that we're campaigning to try and improve and make sure that the people know that they can.
That element of everybody knowing each other is very similar to rural abuse.
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah.
What other services does Definitely Women offer?
So this charity is aimed to support and empower women who are deafblind, hard of hearing, to make new friends, to gain new skills, and especially to target those who are isolated, to try and encourage them to meet other people. Like you said, with rural settings, you know, we have deaf and hard of hearing women all over the county, and they're quite often isolated. And so when they're coming to, I mean, we have so many different workshops. We have a programme of events where people can come and learn computer skills. They could be learning about my role. They could be doing some crafts. They could be doing something about keeping safe, dating online, for example, how to do that safely. Thinking about healthy relationships and how to spot when something doesn't seem right. So if there are any red flags, any warning signs, they're things that I provide. But here at Definitely Women, we have a huge range of events. We've got gardening, crafts, just you name it. We're trying to really encourage and empower women to come along to different workshops that they might be interested in, make new friends, meet other people, have an opportunity to talk to others and to gain new skills at the same time. So additionally, we have two social connectors. They just started recently, and that project aims to encourage people from different areas to try to encourage them. So if they're on their own, they'll learn how to use technology, for example. So they'll learn how to book onto our workshops. Make new friends and connect with other people. So feel more confident to be more sociable so that they're not lonely and isolated. So that's a current project that's ongoing at the moment. We also have one member of staff who is a sexual health and reproduction, a reproductive health advisor. So she will support people with regards to pregnancy, reproductive health, menopause, and so on. So We aim really to consider deaf, hard of hearing and deafblind women and think about their needs as much as possible and get out there, get information out there and provide support and ways to empower them.
Well, we're hoping to see Deborah at some markets. We're hoping to have her on a stall with us.
Yes, definitely.
There's no excuse now for me starting to learn sign language.
That's right, there's not.
So it's been lovely speaking to you this morning, Deborah.
Thank you, and you.
And I will, go ahead.
I was saying thank you very much for inviting me again. It's a pleasure.
It's lovely having you here. So we will we'll get this online. We're going to pop it on Zoom as well so that it can be seen by people who are deaf or hard of hearing. And
okay,
I will make sure I put all the contact details in the bottom in the description bit for the podcast.
Please, that'd be great.
So we'll say goodbye now and we'll have you back again very soon, I'm sure.
It'll be a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's the right side for thank you. Yes, it is.
Thank you very much. And we'll see you again soon. Thank you too, Jill.
No problem. Take care.